So for those of you who aren't necessarily here every week, one of the things I'll just explain a little bit is about what we're doing through this, between sort of the New Year and Easter, is this whole series of Sunday mornings where we're looking at practical things we can do as church. So in some ways, if you want to put it in churchy language, that embodiment of God's love for people around us and in our community, to be able to show people that God loves us, so we want to love others. So we've been looking at various things as part of that. But this morning, we're looking at how we provide for people who have perhaps hit tough times, often through no fault of their own. But actually things we can practically do as a church. And we already part and support the food bank, and we do things with collections. But actually it's part of a series looking at the whole range of things we can do as a church for the community around us. But why should we? Why on earth would we do those sort of things? Why not just sit in here on a Sunday and not worry too much about what's happening outside this building? So many reasons. But one of them, and one of the ones I'll stick with this morning, is because of something it says in the Bible. There are so many bits of the Bible I could turn to around this. But there's a letter by a guy called James, who's writing to a church, and he's talking to the people there. So I'll just quote that. "My friends, what good is it to say you have faith when you don't do anything to show that you really have faith? Can that kind of faith save you? If you know someone who doesn't have any clothes or food, you shouldn't just say, 'I hope all goes well for you. I hope you'll be warm and well fed.' What good is that? What good is it to say that unless you do something to help? Faith that doesn't lead us to do good things for others is all alone and a faith that's dead." So it's really kind of our motivation as to why we do things like this, why we get involved in the food bank and things, is because we know of God's love for us, but actually the love we want to show for others around us. And as we go through life, we realise that often life is as much tragedy as it is comedy or celebration, that suffering and struggles is very much part of life. And as we look around us, we often see parts of society that's kind of pulling up the drawbridge, keeping themselves safe, making sure that they're okay, and actually ignoring what's going on outside the walls. But then alternatively, you encounter people. There's elements in our society who see the need around them and step up to do something around them, to think about the needs of other people rather than just themselves. It's something we do as church, but actually it's not just Christians in the church who step up in these things. There are so many positive things going on around in our culture. I would argue as a Christian that actually part of that is there's an inherent goodness in each one of us that's part of that being created in an image of God, that there is something good about each one of us. But actually I have so much respect for people who see the needs of what's going on around and actually look through their external circumstances and strugglings and recognise there's that deep-seated connection between humanity and actually do something about it. And that kind of brings me to these two people here, to John and Louisa, who do step up. They are involved. I'll kind of let you introduce yourselves a bit more than I can, because I only know little bits. But I think it's fantastic we've got them. They've come over today to give up the time to be able to explain a little bit more about the MK Food Bank, what it does, how it works. And I believe questions are okay and everything from that side. So I'm going to kind of hand over now. And so kind of take it away. But actually, if you want to just introduce yourself a little bit, that'd be fantastic.
Well, thank you very much, Richard. Hopefully you can all hear me on this device. Yes. Good morning, everybody. I'm going to bring Louisa up in a moment. I mean, to be fair to Louisa, she hasn't actually started at the food bank yet. She's still doing a really important job in the Foreign and Commonwealth Office, that's right, isn't it, at the moment?
Another yeah. 2 weeks.
But she's going to take over from me, because I'm retiring for the second time in my life at the end of March. And so 16th of March, you and I are going to be working together for the last 2 weeks of that month. But we've been talking, we've been sort of meeting for coffee, and you've been getting involved in some of the activity of the food bank. And I said, I'm coming to this church. I've been before. It was lovely. Come along and just see what we do. Forget what I do. Just look what everybody else does. Yeah. So thank you very much, A, for having me back. I reckon it was about 2 years ago, don't we, Anne? But I was here last time, probably. And the sun was shining then. And here we are, the sun's out here again. So thank you very much for that. And thank you for coming out to see us on this, well, it was a blustery cold day, wasn't it? Now, I want to say thank you. And I said to Louisa, wherever I go and I'm asked to speak, it's amongst people that support us. And so thank you is obviously the right thing to say, because it is that faithful, you know, commitment that you show by giving out food to us every week, every other week, every month, that makes the difference. We stand not alone as a food bank. You're probably aware there are something like 2,000 food banks across the country. Around half of those, about 1,000, come under the Trussell Trust banner, which, as you possibly know, is a Christian organisation that put up food banks in the very beginning. In 2003 was when the first one started in Salisbury, of all places. We came along as a food bank in 2004 in Milton Keynes, and I think we came under their banner for a while. And a lady called Sue Wall got involved. You may have met Sue, I don't know, but she was a great advocate and became an evangelist eventually. I came along to drive the van in 2011-12 as a retiree from the civil service. I was also a civil servant like Louisa is, and had no idea that I was going to be asked if I'd run the food bank. And I said to my wife, it's a full-time job. And she goes, well, you've retired. I said, I know, but you can't do it part-time. You know, you come out on a Sunday. You come out to different places in the evening. And at that time, in 2012, when I took over, we were giving out something like 6,000 food parcels every year. Now, a food parcel, that's pretty much the content of a standard adult food parcel. You can see on the table here. And Willow and her sister, and I've forgotten her name already, Lily, you're going to help me in a minute, aren't you, with Louisa, yeah? Okay, to go through this food parcel. But we give out, we gave out about 6,000 in 2011-12. And I thought, naively, that it would just be that we'd go slower and we'd have less people needing us because the economy would improve. Unfortunately, it's gone the other way. Over that time, it's gone up and up and up. And we just look back at the figures for the calendar year just gone. So by December last year, we'd given out 13,800 of these food parcels. That's the growth in the 8 and a bit years I've been at the food bank. Now, it's not that we just give it away. People have to be referred. They need to go through another agency, the council, the social services, but increasingly the schools, the doctor's surgeries, any kind of organisation that's either public or charitable that's involved with people at a point of need. Now, if you're in schools, you'll know. You go to the school gate, that's where you hear whether people are having trouble. The teachers there will understand sometimes that children are suffering, struggling in a family where it's hard for them to get enough money to put food on the table. I know we've got a nurse here today as well, in children's nursing, that's right, isn't it? And again, you probably do see cases in families where just lack of food affects development. Unfortunately, it's a very real thing, and you think it's incredible in a country with our wealth. Last Sunday, I was at Milton Keynes Christian Centre, which is where the food bank was started. And they asked me to come and talk there. And they do three services, one after the other. And they've got drums and rock guitars. And my head was, you know, ringing. But I had to say three times the same thing, virtually. But what I reminded of them there was, you know, we are all standing together in this. And it's across the whole of, well, the wider Milton Keynes local authority area. And I've been extremely humbled over the years by just how faithful not just church congregations but communities at large regularly give us support once they understand why we're doing what we're doing. And we're not wanting to be poor stewards of the food that we're given. We know that's a responsibility. It has to be looked after. Everything on here has a date which needs to be managed, and we don't want to waste the food that we're given, and we don't want to give people food who don't actually need it. But I was just looking again at the system. We have an online system that checks when people have been, how many times. The rule of thumb is, and it is dependent on people's circumstances, but come up to 6 times in a 12-month period. But a lot when they're in trouble might come more frequently than that, in a period of maybe 3 or 4 months. And then hopefully they get help and they move on. And I know some people move on because actually I've got three or four volunteers now working with me who previously, 4 or 5 years ago, had used the food bank. But they've stepped on. And that's extremely encouraging. But most times we don't know what happens to people. They'll come maybe 2 or 3 weeks in a row or maybe 2 or 3 months and then they go away. And you think, well, hopefully things have got better for them. They don't need us. And probably what they're doing is putting food into the supermarket trolleys. And I don't know if you know, along the road here out towards Olney is Sainsbury's, a new Sainsbury's. And one of the first things they asked us to do as they opened up was, could we collect food for the food bank? And we said, yes, please. But we seemed staggered that it would be such a generous offer. And it's true to say that the outlying areas of the Milton Keynes Centre is where a lot of our support comes from, where probably there isn't quite the need for the food, but there's a recognition that you have a part to play in helping the wider community. So thank you 100 times for that. Now, Willow and Lily, are you going to come up and help Louisa here? Come up here, Louisa. We need someone to have a look at this food with me. Yeah? Or whoever wants to come up, some of the children. Let's all come up and have a look. Ah, come this way. This is Louisa, who's going to be taken over from me at the school, right? Yeah, have a food bank.
Poppy, hello Poppy.
So we've got Poppy and... what's your name, young man?
Obi.
Obi. And...
this is Sophia.
And Sophia, wow, what amazing names. Now, do you recognise these items on here? Yeah? I want you... so, I've forgotten your name already.
Poppy.
If you were going to make a breakfast, right, for your... are these your... brothers and sisters, or just friends? They're just friends, are they? Yeah? Okay. If you're going to make a breakfast, what would you choose out of here for your breakfast, do you think?
What can you see? Can you see something that's breakfast food?
Do you like porridge? You do. So hold that up for everybody to see then. Come out here. So, okay, here's Willow. So here's some porridge, yeah? Would that be good for breakfast? What would you need, though, with that to make it work so you could eat it? Yeah, some milk. Okay. So it's long life milk, okay? And that together, if you warmed it up, would be quite nice, wouldn't it? And that's meant to last you about 2 or 3 days, yeah? Okay. Thank you very much. Put that back down there then, Poppy. Look, I think it's leaking, actually. Okay. And if you wanted to have a drink or something, what would you drink, do you think, with you? Ah, some orange juice, yes. And again, it's long life orange juice, because we can't assume that the people getting the food have got a fridge, or that if they've got a fridge, they've got electricity to put it on and make use of it. Okay, thank you very much, Poppy. You can go and sit down now, yeah? Right, so we've had our breakfast. Hey, we've had our breakfast. Who's good at making lunch? Yeah?
Mummy.
Mummy's good at making lunch. Well, that's good then. But what would you choose then? What would you choose for lunch, do you think? Sorry?
No.
You don't know. Would you like beans?
I thought beans.
Do you like beans? Let's hold it. Oh, you've got your toys. So a tin of beans. They get 3 tins of beans, actually, in a child parcel for 3 days. That's quite a lot, I think, isn't it? But that's what they get. These have got no added sugar, reduced flavour. Oh, no, sorry. but again, ring pull is also very helpful, because lots of families don't have tin openers, you know, and ring pull increasingly is the way to try and make that easier for them. Okay, or you might have some soup, mightn't you? Do you like tomato soup? And that's Heinz tomato soup. I mean, that's the other thing I'm, again, very grateful for, is people give us premium product. It isn't just the basics. Though indeed, you know, essential Waitrose is the same as premium product, really, I think, and it's true with quite a lot of them. But we get really good quality food given to us. Okay. Yeah, so that's for your lunch, yeah? Thank you very much. You can go sit down. No, don't you stay on here, young lady. So, hey, round of applause, yeah? So, tell me your name again.
Sophia.
Sophia, now. Okay, so everybody's going to come to your house for a big dinner tonight, yeah? Is that okay? Do you think Mummy will help you? Yeah, so what would you want to choose for a big dinner for everybody tonight?
Soup for dinner.
Soup. You'd have soup to start, wouldn't you? Yeah, that sounds all right. Yeah, we're still going to come to Sophia's house. Yeah, okay. What do you think we'll have as the main course? What do you put on your plate?
I don't know.
You don't know. Would you have a steak and kidney pie, maybe? Do you eat meat? Yes. These, apparently, a lot of younger people that use the service, and we get students sometimes as well who are struggling, didn't understand what you did with this, right? Do you know what you do? Probably you wouldn't know what to do with this, would you? Either, Sophia, no. You take the top off, you stick it in the oven, and it rises, yeah? I'm sure it's smaller than it used to be. And they're about £2 as well, so it's quite an expensive item. But yes, that could make a nice lunch. And you might have some vegetables. Here we have got some unusual vegetables here. Do you like vegetables? Do you like sweet corn? Ah, sweet corn is very popular with the kids. Again, ring pull's good to have. But, you know, you can get potatoes in a tin as well. I mean, sadly, we can't give people fresh food. That's the ideal. But the logistics around storing it, getting it to people in time, all of that is a major problem. And we are only supposed to be an emergency service. That's the other thing to bear in mind. OK, what about pudding then? What sort of pudding would you like? Hey, do you like rice pudding, maybe? Yeah? This is ambrosia rice pudding, but we'll take any. what else might you have? Do you like Oreo biscuits? Do you? You're smiling at that, aren't you? Okay.
I have those at Verity's in Frank's house.
Do you? They're the best ones, aren't they? Yeah. Hey, you might have some tea. So thank you very much, Sophia. Thank you very much. Right. You can go back. You can go back now. That's it. So Willow, what? Come and look here a minute. What else is on here that's not food? I'm giving you a hint here. Is that food?
Toilet paper.
It is toilet paper. Well done. So what? So this is a very rare commodity for us, and yet lots of people need it. And they're desperate, especially in the winter time when it's cold for some reason. So we try and get, if we can, toilet paper. What else have we got here that's not food? What are those things? Do you know? Do you have a shower in the mornings?
Squirt, squirt.
Squirt, squirt, yeah. So if you have a shower, you need something to have a shower with, don't you, to make you all nice and bubbly. So that's shower gel. And then if you need to keep yourself nice and clean under your arms, then you've got a spray, yeah? So, again, very basic toiletries are really important. Round of applause for Willow. Thank you very much. You go back to Mummy. I didn't ask how long I'd got, actually, Byron. Am I all right for the minute? Tell me to stop. Yeah. So... I mean, the other thing that, of course, is a staple here is pasta. Pasta and pasta sauce. Funnily enough, actually, we get lots of companies allow their staff to come for a half a day or for a day in the food bank. And we had a group along from Network Rail recently. And one of them looked at this and actually said, do you ever put all this food together into a kind of a recipe for people so they know what to do with it? And we said, we've tried this in the past, and not everybody will sit down and read a recipe. And then another lady came in from a company we'd not heard of before, who said, look, I brought some food in, but some of my colleagues decided to put it into a pasta bolognese starter kit. And it had everything you needed, including garlic puree, passata, and very simple directions as to how to make. All you had to add, if you wanted, was either meat or, you know, some sort of meat substitute. And we took them to serving on Friday. Now, on a Friday, we go to Christ the... You're going to have to come to Christ the Cornerstone, Louisa.
Yes.
It's Christ the Cornerstone Church in the centre of Milton Keynes. They're great supporters of ours. We have the Guildhall there. And in the hour, we saw 39 people collecting for quite large families in many cases. We ran out, nearly ran out of food. We take two vans full of food. And all of those... pasta dish recipe packs went. We only had five of them, but people said, yeah, it's a great idea, I'll take those. And you think, oh, they do cook then. Because you rather make the assumption, looking at some of these people, that they don't really know how to cook. They'd have a pot noodle, anything you can stick in the microwave, but they wouldn't necessarily have the base ingredients and make up something. But no, they said, we'll give it a try. So we do our best to help people to make the best of the food they're given. That's important. I've said about long life because that's because we can't store fresh food, toiletries, and that's pretty much what they get. So if anybody comes to the food bank, and you get this sometimes on the TV, there are documentaries that try and expose, you know, these scams and things. The most they're going to get away with is very basic food if they are somebody that's trying to pull the wool. But to be honest with you, I have very rarely seen it. The people I see are in trouble. Mental health is a big issue, whether it's diagnosed or not. And we don't judge. We've learned not to judge. Why should we? These people have been referred by another agency. They are people who are struggling. You might question sometimes the decisions they've made that have led to them being where they are, but they are where they are. And I think if you turn to the Bible, there are plenty of passages in there that say we take people as they are and we support them. And funnily enough, being in Milton Keynes Christian Centre, I thought, I'm not a regular church attender. I confess, you know, I'm a lapsed Anglican, I'm terrible, but I thought I'd better find a Bible verse because they're full on there, you know. And funnily enough, I came across one, and it was in a William Tyndale version of the Bible. Very first, I think, English version, is that right? One of the first, yeah. Poor chap got killed for his work. But anyway, and it was, "Be not weary in well-doing." And it was from a letter that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, I think. But "be not weary in well-doing" struck me as being a very powerful piece of advice. It is hard to keep on giving. You do feel a bit weary, you know. If you're doing collections all the time, people say, oh, not more collections for charity, not more. And you understand that. So I often say to organisations and churches, do it on a seasonal basis. Don't feel you have to do it every week. You know, even if you kind of do something on a bigger scale, 3 or 4 times a year, it makes a big difference. I mean, the warehouse is absolutely packed with food. We have been so blessed, actually, over the last few months. Leading up from harvest to, we had reverse Advent, which was a new sort of project where you, instead of taking a chocolate out once a day across December, during November you put something into a box and then you bring it to the food bank. And we had about 300 or 400 of those brought to us. And then, of course, Christmas time, people get very charitable, all sorts of stuff was. We have got so many Christmas puddings, I think we could probably put, you know, most supermarkets out of business if we released it onto the market. But all that food, which we've now only just got to a point where you might not agree, Louisa, when you come and have a look, but when it's just about under control, the demand hasn't dropped. So I said we gave out 13,800 food parcels last year. In January alone, we gave out nearly 1,300 food parcels, just in 1 month. So, now I've dragged on a bit. And are there any questions you want to ask me or Louisa? Because she's probably got more ideas than I have. Yeah.
When I'm buying stuff, I was debating in my mind, is it best to buy a family size? Say you're buying a spaghetti sauce.
Yeah.
Is it best to buy a family one or small ones for individual people? I mean, what are the percentages of the families compared to single people that you're providing?
Yeah, it's difficult to predict sometimes. I would say it's roughly 50-50 that we get individuals on their own struggling and those who've got families. I've also discovered a lot that I didn't know about poverty that is very complex. Family life is extremely varied. Sometimes people will come and they've got a family. 2 weeks later, they haven't got a family because they've split up or, you know, or children have been taken off them. I mean, it's a very complex and difficult area. But I think what you're saying is, if you know, you can get better economy if you buy the bigger versions of stuff. Like, we get this with pasta. You know, the ideal is we give 500 grams of pasta. But we get it coming 5 kilo sacks. But we have volunteers who will break it down for us and put it into 500 grams. We have no shortage of pasta. We have half a warehouse full of pasta. We're really, really lucky with. But I would never say don't give us pasta, because it's extremely useful. It's variable. And it's easy to make a meal from. And I think it's something that children understand at schools. I love going to schools and doing harvest assemblies and talking to children there, because they like pasta and they know what to do with it. So don't worry too much about... If it's easier for you to do it that way, we will work with it. And I've got volunteers who come with learning difficulties, who need support, who love splitting food and doing very repetitive tasks. While they're doing that, they can talk, they can have a bit of social time with us, and they love coming. And you know, on Monday night, we had the people along from the Camp Hill, didn't we?
Yes, yes.
I don't know if you've heard of Camp Hill in Milton Keynes, but 3 or 4, maybe 5 of their residents came out for a project for 6 weeks where they came and helped us with all this food. And they absolutely loved it. And we were able to give them a certificate awarded by the mayor. And their little faces, actually, they were absolutely overwhelmed, weren't they? But doing that work for us is just so powerful over a period of time. So I like to involve as many people as I can. We've got 70-odd volunteers that come across the week that help us in different ways in the warehouses, but also at the various serving locations. Any other questions?
How big an area are you actually serving? So where's the next sort of food banks in, around? Big an area?
Well, we cover all of the Milton Keynes, greater Milton Keynes area. So we go as far out. I mean, we do go to Buckingham, even though there is a small, you know, on occasion we do, yes. And Winslow that way, we go down to, well, probably Woburn Sands and into sort of Wavendon.
Mentioned going to the
there are 12 occasions during Monday to Saturday where we have a serving centre set up, either in Wolverton, Bletchley, Central Milton Keynes, to the far side. So we try and be in different places. But one thing we've learnt from this, if you want to go to a food bank, you're probably not wanting to go, to be honest. You want the food, but you feel embarrassed, you feel humble. You don't want to be seen by people that know you. So people don't go locally. Predominantly, they will go somewhere else. And we learnt this when we used to have a mobile service that we did on a Tuesday on the van. And we'd go around to different locations and park up. And we're thinking, well, we're in the heart of where people need the help. Because there are 7 estates in Milton Keynes that are very deprived. And yet, those people that came weren't from those estates. They were people that they wanted to be recognised for all sorts of reasons. So, yeah, they have to come to us. We don't have the facility to deliver to people's houses, but agencies will sometimes come on behalf of people with mental health issues or, you know, other kinds of illness, which means they can't actually get out of the house, and they will take it to the house. Because, again, you need safeguarding, you need all sorts of training. We're not trained at anything other than getting a load of food, sticking it in a bag and giving it to somebody, you know. We're very simple about what we do. But that's the other thing, I suppose, that we're supported by, all the different agencies. They've learnt that, you know, we can work together, and that food itself is a very important thing to have access to. If you don't have... I mean, I used to think giving people food wasn't much, really. But funny, I went to Luton Food Bank. We helped set them up, actually, 4 or 5 years ago. And they brought somebody in to run the warehouse. And he said for 3 years... He'd come out of the army. He said for 3 years he'd been sleeping rough. And he said, when you're not eating properly, you don't sleep very well. And when you don't sleep very well, he said, even when you do sleep, you're dreaming about eating because the body's saying, get me some food. And you wake up the next morning having had probably fitful sleep, not feeling any more ready to face the world, and your problems are still with you. Having some food at least tends to settle you. It gives you a chance perhaps of having some sleep. I might be wrong here. I forgot your name, actually. You know, the not having a proper diet has a knock-on effect to all sorts of well-being and health issues for you. And we see lots of people who are... You'd think... It does sort of go in sort of odd situations. We get people that can be quite big because they're eating the wrong stuff, or they're very, very thin because they're actually smoking or drinking or possibly on something worse. It's all about trying to cope with something they can't cope with. So that's why I say you learn not to judge. The other thing I'll say about people that use the food bank is they always, almost without exception, say thank you. They are always very grateful. I think even just the chance to talk to somebody under no hidden agenda. If you go to the benefit office, if you go to the council or wherever, you've got to tell a story because you've got to hit certain boxes, you've got to go above certain thresholds before you're going to get any help. And it's all about, you know, you've got to get way down there to sort of get any help at all. We're basically saying, as long as you've got a voucher and you are who you say you are, we'll give you the food. You can tell us a bit about your story and we'll try and encourage you to carry on the path they might be on. I mean, you know, debt is a major, major issue for people. It drags people down. And it's very hard to get away from it. So, as I say, I've learnt that poverty is very complex. Any more questions? Yes.
Yeah. What sort of things do you spend the financial donations on?
Well, obviously I'm paid. Louisa's going to be paid, not a king's ransom or even a queen's ransom, but so I'm paid because there are 2 staff who are full-time. And that's because we run an organisation. And all that any organisation has to do, we have to do. So we have two warehouses that we have to run and we have to pay rent on, even though we get a 70% discount from the local community trust. You've got two vans that need to be on the road. There are costs associated with even just splitting the food because you have to get bags from somewhere. So there's running costs which are associated. And the bigger we get, the more those go up. Now, I'm pleased to say, although we don't get any regular income, we do get some from churches where individuals give £3 or £4 a month, you know, on a regular basis. We've got something like 300 or 400 people that do that for us. And so we know that's coming. Everything else, you just have to hope. Now, up until November last year, we were running a £14,000 deficit as an organisation. We need to get basically about £120,000 every year to break even. And we were 14... Sorry, I haven't told you this, Louisa, have I? We were 14K down. We don't like to kind of ask for money, really, because people got the idea that what we want is food, and they're absolutely right. Without the food, without the volunteer time, we could do nothing, or very little. But you do need the money as well. But in those 2 months, we got 24K come in, which was enough that meant we broke even. And so far, most years, I've managed to do that. But it really is a battle. Because, yes, you're right. I mean, there's all these kind of stories about charities misusing funds. There was something in the paper only yesterday about a national organisation charity that, you know, was quite staggering. They'd spent, I don't know, £750,000 on non-disclosure agreements. You think, well, we're not at that level, I have to tell you, right? I'm not going to sign a non-disclosure agreement. You know, we're a very small charity. We're based in Milton Keynes. And, yeah, we need basically, you know, 10K a month to run.
So financial donations are important.
They are very important. But we know for lots of people that want to help us, that isn't what they want. That's not part of the contract. They've maybe been let down by charities in the past, or they feel, no, I'm not going to give you money because I'm not sure where that goes. If I give you a tin of beans, the most you can do with it, the worst thing you could do is eat it yourself. Yeah. You know, believe me, when it's a bit like working in a sweet shop. Eventually, you get fed up of sweets. Well, we get fed up of food. Sorry, you had a question at the back there.
I'm just going to ask what items you're most in need of.
Right. Good question, because there are times of the year when we really do run low. But as things stand, we don't have any shortages. But what I know will go very quickly is the long life juice and the long life milk. Partly because it's quite heavy. And if you're going to drag it along somewhere, it's quite heavy. It can be quite expensive. And the dates on here are not that long. So what's this one? May. May's not too far away, is it? And June. So, you know, we're looking at May and June at the moment. Now, we've got plenty of milk and juice as things stand, but if we're giving out roughly 1,200 food parcels every month, and every food parcel has one of these in it, one of these items each in it, very quickly we're going to run out. So we get lots of pasta, we get lots of beans, we get lots of soup, because people tend to think we're dealing with the homeless all the time, and we're actually not dealing with the homeless. The majority of people we have are in accommodation, however vulnerable they may be. Obviously, homelessness is a much deeper, wider issue, and there are specialist organisations like the Winter Night Shelter in Milton Keynes, and there's Emmaus up the road here, actually, isn't there, in Carlton, that helps people get away from being homeless. We see people who are basically trying to keep it together in accommodation. They may be sofa surfing. Have you heard of the term sofa surfing? And that's where effectively you're kipping with a friend, and part of the deal is if they're struggling, they'll get a bag of food and they'll bring it into the household, and that's their way of saying, look, that's my contribution to the rent, if you like. So on a regular basis, I think things like tinned fruit, you know, people don't always think about giving us tinned fruit, but actually things in a tin are just as nutritious as they are any other way. And there's vitamin C in here. Okay, there's sugar as well, but yeah, there's vitamin C. And fish can be, tuna fish particularly, can start to go down. Again, it can be quite expensive, but it's a flexible fish. You can do all sorts of things with tuna. We do get sardines, but not everybody likes sardines. I think nutritionally it might be better for you, but actually it's more of a challenge to... I remember we have uniformed organisations will come along and help us, the scouts, the guides, the brownies, rainbows. And we have a little project where we say, make up some meals using a little chart, and they'll come into the warehouse and do this. And one little team had some tikka masala sauce, some pasta, and two tins of sardines, and that was their tikka masala sardine pasta. And I thought, yeah. The other thing which I would say we're trying more to bring it in as a mainstream item is toiletries, because people are just as concerned about keeping clean. It is a real worry when you smell, you know, because you've not sort of had the products to help you. And again, we only want the basic things. We don't need all the kind of whatever the main brands are. You know? And if we have them, then we give them out. And they're always very gratefully received. But, yes?
Do you, going back to the financial side of things, do you get any government money?
Ha, we don't. To be honest, and I don't know what you feel about this, Louisa, I probably wouldn't accept it.
You wouldn't?
No, because I think any government, and I've been a civil servant, I was a civil servant for 37 years, so I've been through all the different manifestations of, you know, political government power. None of them want to accept that food banks should be here. They all recognise they are here, but it's actually tantamount to a failure to the state systems not being flexible enough to allow people to survive. We all pay taxes, don't we? We all pay into the social services fund. But somewhere along the line, we're supposed to have had a safety net that makes sure everybody's caught, and they're not. We know that. And we know that life has got more complicated. You know, the tolerances are much finer now. There's very little give, is there, in any of the systems. There's very little room for discretion. I think if my fear is if we took government money, and I don't see it coming anytime soon, is a lot of volunteers would walk away. Because they say, well, if the government's funding you, you don't need my time. The deal that volunteers have that come, and I've got people who are retired accountants, retired teachers, a justice of the peace who's finally retired. You know, they're all very skilled, you know, people of the world, people with lots of life experience, lots of fun and enthusiasm that come along. I couldn't pay for them. And if they thought they were part of a government-funded organisation, they wouldn't come. So I think there's a bit of a dilemma here, because I honestly think we shouldn't need to exist as an organisation. It's sad that we do. But I can tell you, Louisa, there was I thinking back in 2011-12, I wouldn't be around in this job for maybe 2 or 3 years. I said I'd do it for 2 years because I was far too old. I'm still very old. They laughed, actually, the trustees, and they said, well, let's see how it goes. And here I am 8 years later, eventually digging my way out. But not because I want to go, but because I genuinely think that, I mean, my wife's a little bit older than me, and we're thinking, look, you never quite know. We've lost our mums recently. Both of us have lost our mums in the last 12 months. You think, that's it. We're the top of the family. There's nobody else to look up to. Where are they? You know, it's us. You know, and while you've got your health, get out there and do some stuff, you know. But it's not because I've grown sort of weary of the food bank. I mean, it's been a big part of my life. And I think, well, you can tell that, Louisa, can't you?
Yes.
I'm a bit passionate about it. But what I find is it's so rewarding. Ironically, you give out and you get back. You know, you give out and you hopefully get back. It is that sort of unusual sort of, I don't know what it is, magic in the mix or something. And it is such a nice occasion when you get somebody comes forward and says, look, you helped me a few months ago. I've come back to say thank you. Here's a thank you card. Very rarely that happens, but when it does, it really touches you. Last Sunday, a lady came up to me in one of the services and she said, I've just qualified as a sort of a mature adult student at Buckingham University as a solicitor. But she said, 5 years ago, my house burned down and you, the food bank, helped me in my hour of need. She said, I had nobody around me. I was in a bad place. And she said, I just wanted to tell you that. I said, well, thank you for telling me the end of the story. I said, because I didn't actually recognise her, because we do see a lot of people. But she'd taken the time to come and tell me that. She didn't have to tell me that. Now, that's an extreme. I will leave you with one story, actually, which is a true story. And I've had lots of stories, obviously, over the years. But this one particularly sticks with me. It was a sunny July morning, and we run our servings at the Christian Centre on a Monday and a Thursday. I think it was a Thursday morning, that's right. And we got to the Christian Centre in Oldbrook, and there was a young lad just collapsed at the front door, looking very dishevelled, probably about 18 years old, and he was shaking. And we said, "Are you all right?" He said, "No." He said, "I've just walked. I've got a food voucher. I'm really hungry and thirsty." "Where have you walked from?" He said, "From Buckingham." "From Buckingham?" He said, "Well," he meant the Buckingham Road, and he meant the hotel there, the Milton Keynes. Is it called the Milton Keynes Hotel, or there's a
up by Dean's Hanger.
Up by Dean's Hanger, yeah. So he'd walked along there, and you know what that road's like. And he got to us, and so the first thing we do is give him some sort of cereal and something to eat and drink. And he was shaking. We said, "What's the story?" He said, "Well, I've fallen out with mum and dad." He said, "I just can't take it anymore. And I'd left them, and I'd been sleeping rough for a couple of days." Somehow he'd got involved with the council, and they'd put him in this place. Now, the thing about that hotel is, it's where a lot of people get put. You get a kettle. If you're lucky, you might get a microwave, and that's it. But you're in the middle, really, of nowhere. There's no public transport you can really get hold of. So we gave him some food. We thought, well, we can't expect him to walk back with that. These bags are quite heavy. So my driver, this is Freddie, said, "Look, I'll take him back in the van. It's the least we can do." So we took him back in the van. Now, he didn't come back ever again. And I have to believe and hope that guy, you know, either woke up and thought, "I'll go back home," or found a way to carry forward. But it struck me that, you know, you don't know when it's going to affect you. And when you put when you cast out into the world, it's suddenly not what you expect. And we've written a book, actually. I have got someone with me in the car, but called Tales from the Food Bank. I think I may have brought some last time I was here. Did I? Maybe I didn't. If it's 2 years ago. 2018, I think we did. And that story is in there, actually. I wrote a poem about it because, you know, it does just capture some of the things that happen. And it's not to kind of make it romantic. It's just basically saying this is real life that happens to people. And if you can be with them, alongside them, just at that point, it's a privilege, actually. And you never know quite how it's going to turn out. So you don't know every time you give us a tin of beans or some rice pudding, you know, the person who gets this and eats it, what's their story? But every one of these tins and packets links to a story. That's what I've discovered. And it makes it real. And I will hopefully never forget that. I say I'm stopping and I'm retiring, but I'm going voluntary. So I'm going to still be involved in community stuff that I'm doing. And I've said I'm happy to come and still do talks and things and whatever, but maybe you'll say, "No, go away after this one." But, and I'm really proud that Louise is going to come on board because, A, she's a lot younger than me. You know, she's taller than me. you've got 2 minutes just to explain a little bit about. You're not on here, but.
No, that's probably accurate. Yeah, no. So I've worked at the Foreign Commonwealth Office for 20 years. So the good that I feel I'm giving is basically happening overseas. Been involved in lots of projects. Been involved most lately with the repatriations for the people in the coronavirus affected countries. So I've had a really interesting career, but it's happened very far away. So we sort of direct from London and things happen there. So I think for a long time I wanted to do something in my community. And fortuitous kind of various events sort of led me to this opportunity. But I think my sort of own personal feeling for it, and I don't think John knows this actually, when I was in my early 30s, my first husband left me with 3 children under 5. Now, I didn't have a job and I didn't have any money. I was a civil servant and I was able to get back into it fairly quickly. And I didn't have to go to the food bank. And actually, I don't think I even knew food banks existed, if they even did then. But I think I had to navigate a system that I was completely unfamiliar with. I had to find out about benefits and about income support and about what was available. And I got through that, and I've got a very helpful family too. But the one thing in it that made the huge difference for me was throughout that was being treated like a human being. That when that suddenly happens to you, you don't become an underclass. You are you with your own values, your family, and everything about that is still there. And being able to still feel you have got somewhere to hold your head up high and somewhere, someone treating you like the person you know you are inside, and think that for me is my sort of reason for wanting to do this. And John is so inspirational, and the whole team are. And he mentioned briefly the annual conference that the food bank held last week. And not a single person in that room has any sort of anything other than just love and respect and passion and inspiration for the food bank. So I'm hugely excited to start. Very glad that I've got John for 2 weeks and all of his years of knowledge. So yeah, it's just a fantastic organisation, and realising the extent across this huge Milton Keynes area, which just talking to Byron this morning, I hadn't even realised that Lavendon was part of Milton Keynes, but it's that is magnified across the whole area, and it's fabulous how many people want to help. And the good that it does. So yes.
And we haven't rehearsed that. We haven't rehearsed that. Thank you.
We haven't.
I looking at the time, I feel we've well gone after our time, but you've been very attentive, thank you. Are there any final questions or anything you want to say? Or we've probably talked you out, haven't we?
Which was, we've talked about many different ways that people can help by volunteering, by financially giving, by giving food. What is most useful to you now, but also what's most useful to be sustained going forward?
I think the regular supply of food, little drip drips throughout the year, are really important actually, because it builds up, and you don't know because you can't see it from here, but it builds up into our warehouse, and we know there are dry periods coming, so we try and do a bit of a push in the spring leading up to Easter's sort of middle of April this year, isn't it? I think that's a good time. But then it's a fairly dry run towards summer holidays, and we increasingly say to schools, look, if there's anything you can do to kind of muster a bit of support just before you break up, because we know there are children that rely entirely on school meals, free school meals, and when the schools are closed for 6 weeks, that's a long time for families to provide that, what's missing from the school provision. And I think several of the secondary schools are saying to us, we can do something like that, you know, we understand. And of course the juniors do as well in the primaries. But so that's another thing. I think the drip of money as well, actually. Not that we're saying you make a collection every time, but, you know, if you do want to give money sometimes, that also does help. Again, it comes together. We have seasonal times when we get something like that happening, especially around Christmas time. But we're like any small charity. Any small charity is struggling, because the days of going to the local authority or large grant organisations has disappeared. Local authorities don't have discretionary money anymore. They're all putting the council tax up, aren't they, I believe, across the country, because they're all strapped, basically, for cash. So the Community Foundation have been great supporters of the Food Bank in Milton Keynes, and we haven't been knocking on their door for a while. I think we're due to go and knock on their door, I would say. But we do every month. They give us a 70% discount on our rent at two buildings. Without that, we couldn't be in those buildings. So they are great supporters in that way. And I suppose people do associate it with food. The other thing is volunteer time, and that's something which can happen with us, or it can be an advocate. I mean, we were talking about Sonia, weren't we, who's a lady who lives in Lavendon and tends to go to Olney, to the Catholic Church there. I've been and spoken there. But she's been a great supporter over the years. And all of you here, I think, know each other, and, you know, you can become advocates for the food bank. And understand. Hopefully you've got a bit more ammunition today, or a little bit more understanding of what we do and why we do. You've met Louisa. You're the first ones to meet Louisa, actually. You're very special, and I'm sure it would be very special for you, won't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
The sun's still shining, so we're obviously saying the right things, but, you know, it's important that that connection doesn't stop, because, A, we should never take it for granted. I hope we would never take it for granted that you guys are prepared to help us. You've got your own challenges living in a small community, being a relatively small church. You'd love to see these pews filled more, wouldn't you? I'm sure. But I think you're right. Reaching out and being active in your communities and further afield is how you draw people to you. Are you a beacon in this village? I'm sure you are. But could you stoke it and build it a bit higher? Probably yes.
Do you allow people to come in? It's just my husband was inconvenient today, but he actually wanted to speak to you guys. Do you allow people to come and like have a look at how it works and what have you? And then do you take volunteers in? Because I think he was maybe trying to...
Yeah, every Friday morning I have an open door, which is that, you know, well, I've got an open door anyway, to be honest. Ever since I went there, I thought, look, I'm not going to do this on my own. And if people are you know, brave enough to come and knock on the door and say, have you got any, you know, time for me to give you some volunteer time? Why should I not say yes? So on a Friday morning between 10 and 12 at the warehouse in Stacey Bushes, people can come and have a look around, get to meet people. The odd thing there, and again you pick this up at the conferences, the Monday crew won't know who's coming in on a Friday. You know, they've got no idea unless they come to the annual conference and they suddenly look around and there's like nearly 100 people. You think, my goodness, these are people all associated with the food bank. We're a bit like the TARDIS, is what I say, with Doctor Who. You know, we're bigger on the inside than it looks on the outside. So yes, the answer to that is, if you'd like to come along, if he's fit and active, because that's the other thing. There's a lot, this stuff's heavy. Moving it around is heavy. Loading the van is quite a task, and we haven't got lots of young 20, 30-somethings desperate to help us, because they're all working for a living. Of course they are. So it's mostly crotchety old 60-plus-somethings who are hurting their arms and hurting their sort of stuff. It's a challenge going forward, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, and actually that was one of the things, when you mentioned about financial assistance, things like specialist equipment for lifting and so on, so saving people's backs, it doesn't always last forever. I think backs don't last forever, but various sort of, I don't know, lifting devices or so, which we sort of talked about very briefly. That's the sort of thing which, because, you know, without the volunteers, if they all sort of end up unable to lift anything, you know, that's obviously a really big concern, the health and the welfare of the people that volunteer. So things like that are needed, and that's what the money would go for.
Thank you ever so much for listening. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Hopefully that has ticked a few boxes for you. Please keep giving in all sorts of ways. And I'm sure you'll be happy to come back at some point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pauline, obviously, thank you for coming across. It's been really helpful, I think, for finding out more. And I think everyone's found it interesting. Mm-hmm.